Min campus alihor, miai Karsten Schwine. Għal-programm ieħor it-tnax-il wieħed qabel tal-aħħar f'din is-sensi lat-tieni waħda minn Campus għalieħor fuq Campus FM miegħi Karsten Xwiereb, il-miss li din tal-lum partikolari għaliex dejjem niltaqgħu ma' personaġġi li veru dejjem nidilkom ftit differenti minn xulxin għax hekk ikun, ovvjament ħatmu bħal xulxin għal kollox. U d-dinja tal-università kif qed naraw minn programm għalieħor u kif forsi tafu anke mill-esperjenzi tagħkom bħala studenti, bħala riċerkaturi, akkademiċi, letturi, jew nies li b'xi mod jew ieħor tinteressakom id-dinja tal-edukazzjoni, edukazzjoni għolja, jew anke edukazzjoni ġenerali kif ġieli ngħidu dik li ssir f'kollaborazzjoni u f'wieħdan campus jew relatata magħha b'mod iktar anċillari ħanajtek, iktar b'mod miftuħ estis. Inkluż dak il-kollaborazzjoni li jsiru pereżempju ma' dan l-istazzjon Campus FM. Dawn l-esperjenzi b'xi mod joħolqu spektrum ta' il-ħna propju kelma fuq ta' xedin propju fuq radio fejn nisimaw daw l-istejjer, nisimaw daw l-aneddoti u ċertu mistednin permess ta' r-riċerka tagħhom ikunu qed jiżviluppaw karriera li forsi ma jkunux jafu eżattament fejn ħadd mur fl-aħħar mill-aħħar, speċjalment kif smajna pereżempju minn dawk il-mistiedna ikbar fleta li għandhom għexieren ta' snin ta' esperjenza li b'xi mod jew ieħor forsi lejn l-aħħar jibdew iva jispeċjalizzaw u jiżviluppaw l-esperjenza tagħhom f'ambiti partikolari. Hemm oħrajn, speċjalment kmieni fil karriera jipruvaw affarijiet differenti u dejjem jibqgħu kurjużi u mimlin passjoni fuq isma differenti li mbagħad bil-mod il-mod forsi jibdew jingħaqdu iktar flimkien. Il-mistident tal-lum huwa Dr. Danny Wire, personaġġ interessanti kif għattilkom għaliex bħalissa huwa l-kap ta' partiċipazzjoni. Dak li qabel forsi jew f'postijiet oħra jissemma bħala l-involviment tal-pubbliku, tal-udjenza, forsi ġieli anke bħala outreach, pereżempju. Fil-kumpanija li hu jaħdem fiha ġewwa Baden-Baden il-Ġermanja li hija il-Festspiel House un Festspiele ta' Baden-Baden fil-naħa li l-naħa tisfel ħanajtek tal-Ġermanja fil-qalba tal-Ewropa tal-kontinent Ewropew huwa jagħmel ħafna xogħol li jikkombina l-esperjenzi performattivi tiegħu bħal nies oħrajn li tkellimna magħhom matul dis-sensiela jiġu minn sfond artistiku kreattiv muzikali, ħafna drabi u dak it-taħriġ tagħhom bil-mod il-mod jibda jiżviluppa anke fuq isma ta' politika, tmexxija, amministrazzjoni u elementi li proġetti u kollaborazzjonijiet ma' nies differenti jibdew iwasslu anke l-impatti fuq il-komunitajiet tagħhom. U dani Wire propju jagħmel dan. Il-dottorat tiegħu spiċċaħ milux mill-Università tal-Lussemburgu fil-fatt minn fejn u fejn twielet u trabba u qabel ma mexxa Baden-Baden kien għamel esperjenzi diversi interessanti ħafna kif ħajdilnaw il-Filarmonika tal-Lussemburgu, teatru Awstraljan għas-sasaħ, l-Orkestra Barokka tal-Unjoni Ewropea u anki entitajiet kulturali kreativi ġewwa r-Renju Unit, partikolarment l-Università ta' Canterbury. Dan l-vjaġġar kif ħan nisimgħu immarka ħafna, ġifier il-fatt li mhux biss fl-Ewropa ma anke l-Awstralja u New Zealand ħa esperjenzi interessanti immarkawh b'mod pożittiv u b'mod kreattiv. It-teżi tiegħu dottorali tħares lejn l-aspett tat-teatru multi lingwistiku u kif potenzjalità fil-titjib tas-soċjetà fit-titjib tar-relazzjonijiet umani fil-qasam tal-pedagogija. Ġifri ħalles li l-aspett tal-edukazzjoni b'mod umanistiku fil-fatt ħadd isimgħu jikkwota anke lil Paolo Freire li anke hawnhekk ġew l-Università Malta jibqa' figura importanti ħafna mhux biss fid-dipartiment tal-edukazzjoni imma anke fuq isma oħra u permezz ta' dan l-istudju li llum il-ġurnata japplika f'xogħlu hemm iħares lej kwistjonijiet ta' poter, ta' vulnerabilità, ta' benevolenza u anke ta' kif wieħed jista' jafda u jorbot fuq nies oħrajn fil-komunità tiegħu. Iħares l-edukazzjoni u t-teatru propju fil-kuntest tal-fiduċa, kif wieħed jibni l-fiduċa u jżomma f'kumpanniji teatrali li mbagħad b'xi mod jespandu l-impatti tagħhom ir-relazzjonijiet tagħhom kif komunitajiet il-barra direttament minn dawk il-kumpanniji teatrali u anke performattivi oħra. Qabel ma ngħaddu għall-intervista ma' Danny Wire illum, nfakkarkom biss li l-mużika li nisimgħu matul dawn il-programmi hija dik tal-proġett Ewropew Medinea, immexxi lokalment minn Arc Research and Consultancy flimkien ma' numru kbir ta' kollaboraturi Ewropew Mediterrani fosthom pereżempju qdiet mużikali u teatrali naħat isfel ta' Franza fil-Provenza speċjalment imma anki oħrajn il-barra mill-Europa u mill-Unjoni Ewropea. Malta wkoll hija partiċipanti f'din il-mużika u f'dawn il-proġetti. Imma qiegħed ngħaddu nisimgħu l-intervista ma' Danny Wire. So I welcome back our listeners on this 12th program. We're almost at the end of this second series of Min Campus Alihor on Campus FM, the University of Malta radio station. I thank our listeners for the feedback, for the comments, even suggestions sometimes of other areas to look at from one program to the next along this series. And also, I can say, so if there's another one in the offing, which will take us through another number of guests in the upcoming season. These programs are also on online. They're available at podcasts a few days after the transmissions, which happen on Campus FM. And as listeners have gotten used to now, there's always a mix of experiences. Many times they gravitate towards cultural policy, arts management, the social sciences, but we also try to balance that out with other experiences. However, the base, the core, the running theme is sort of this development of careers intertwined with personal perspectives and elements, and also there's a strong level of sort of international dimension and the travel element. And as listeners, we have followed from my introduction in Maltese, as always, to this program. My guest today, Danny Wire, is I think, in a way, a quintessential of this. That's how I see you, Danny. Danny, welcome, and thank you for being with me on the show.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Hi.
I'm saying this because at the moment I'm recording from the studio at the campus in Valletta, connecting with you in sort of Middle Europa, in the core of the continent, sometimes even from a periphery, from the edges of Europe. We'll look inwards to see and connect and find ways also of tightening relations and collaboration, especially in the last 15 years or so since Malta joined the European Union, like many other countries. In your case, Danny, you've over a number of years worked in the fields related to music, culture, the arts. We will be seeing as well intercultural dialogue, intercultural relations, in a way the sort of connection of Benelux countries, so Luxembourg, but also sort of Belgium and Brussels, but also other countries, even in terms of Germany, for example. There's a lot going on there. And somehow in your career, in your studies, in your research, in your travels as well, you seem to sort of be very much on the ground and connecting many elements, possibly because what you do is very sort of outward looking. It's very much looking at engagement with audiences, with different parts of society. But not wanting to jump the gun, I guess my first question will be, where, if you had to look back, where do you sort of see that starting from? Your studies, your school, family influences, friends? Was it sort of rather a straight line? Or were there also some meanderings on the way in your pursuits?
No straight line at all. But yeah, I guess really family and friends, first of all, as always. I had and I still have, fortunately, a very wonderful family and friend environment where I am allowed to sort of do what I want and experience, you know, really different study areas, different professionals. And in Luxembourg, well, there everything started. So I was born and raised in Luxembourg. I'm now 31 years old. So in the last years, it really started that even I understand what I really want to do. I even today, we might talk about that later, I even don't really know, you know, where I will be in 10, 15, 20 years, as I'm someone that is very, very interested to always discover some new stuff. But I think professionally, it sort of started doing an internship in Luxembourg.
Okay.
So I studied at that time in 2009, 2010, I studied communication design in Konstanz in southern Germany.
All right.
And I really wanted to do an internship because, you know, many people told me you need to, you know, to work, you need to really get some work experience to also be attractive to the working environment, you know, and all that stuff.
Then
I worked at the Philharmonie Luxembourg. So that's the biggest concert hall in Luxembourg. And I just discovered that I really enjoy working in these environments of concert halls. And at that time, I worked at the marketing and communication department.
All right.
So I do not want to take away too much now already, but I'm also now back in a concert opera house working in a completely different environment.
Sector.
But that was sort of in Luxembourg, I think. Where so, something happened.
Somehow, it reminds me of the experience of maybe even of our listeners, younger students, or maybe even older ones, who sort of go through cycles, go through moments in their careers, and maybe they want to sort of dip their toes into different fields through internships or through brief work experiences by taking on a short-term contract, a short-term project. But what you mention, I feel about the sort of starting off the internship at the beginning of one's career and linking it sort of the practice to the study, applying the research to a particular area, particular field. It reminds me a little bit of when I was reading for my master's at the University of Warwick in the UK. We had some research at the Birmingham Philharmonic, not a stage, but going there, following even the administration, the finance, seeing how sort of the books were balanced in the field of the symphonic over there, and the whole structure and how it worked. And I think we'll be talking a little bit about this because we've spoken about it even before on other occasions and in preparing for this program. But the musical field, and when you're working in environments which bring together philharmonic orchestras, opera, engagement with audiences. It's so, for want of a better word, the word harmonic comes to mind. It's so complete, it's so wide, that in a way, I guess even if you did move into other areas along the way and then sort of moved back, moved forward, it's really a good place to start. That's the feeling I get.
Exactly, yeah. So I just experienced that music later on was theater, now it's music, theater, and dance. Is a form of communication, as everyone knows, and sort of it allows children, young people, and adults to sort of dive into something and understand it as a social phenomenon. You know, at that time in Luxembourg, we organized concerts, we organize educational programs, everything happens sort of individually within oneself, but also always within a team. And that's something that I find extremely fascinating, that arts and culture can, you know, make something happen as a catalyst for, you know, something else maybe. I know that some people would not like to use it as a metaphor to do something, you know, to realize something new. But as you say, music is something that I personally did. I was 20 years a musician. At the moment, I do not play an instrument anymore, but also professionally, it's extremely fascinating.
This is interesting because even other people on this series and people, our listeners, I'm sure, will have such experiences or know people with such experiences, maybe in their family or their friends. Having been a musician, even maybe on a very amateur level, having engaged with the world of music, and maybe even not alone, but having played and studied and performed with other people, gives one that social dimension, which sort of is well, one may find it even in other areas and walks of life. It could be sports, it could be other practices. But doing that and putting yourself sort of as part of a part of a team, and then engaging directly with an audience, opens up certain dimensions, which maybe music is particularly special in this way. And you've seen it while sort of studying, while being a musician, while performing. And then moving on. What was your instrument or range of instruments, Danny?
So I started with the trumpet, and then at some point I added the drums, as that was the cool instrument. You know, I also wanted. I had my cool phase as well for several years, but then I went back again to trumpet, or I tried both things. But at the moment, I do not play anything.
I can't resist repeating a comment I shared with a guest a couple of programs ago, David Stevenson from Queen Margaret in Edinburgh, when we brought up the part from The Talented Mr. Ripley, where characters challenge each other on what they do best. And I remember this episode, particularly from the film, with Jude Law playing the character, where he plays the trumpet and the drums, and he's being told, choose. And he says, no, I want to do both. So there's a bit of that as well, isn't there? That you start opening up and not, maybe with time, yes, you start sort of choosing and restricting and focusing and sharpening your focus. But it's not irreversible, is it? In your case, there's sort of this shift into different gears almost.
I'm choosing all the time. And so I started with piano several years ago. Because I always wanted to be like a perfect piano player. Then I tried the guitar. And at some point, I, as everyone else, has to realize I cannot do everything. Well, at least not everything, you know, quite well, which is perfectly fine.
Yes, I think that's really already a takeaway point from this conversation, that somehow, so if you can't do everything and as well as you want at the same time, especially or early on. And there is, you mentioned the cool phase, maybe half jokingly before, but especially at a younger age, one wants to already sort of be very good, if not the best, at what they do. It could be in academic studies, it could be in social fora with friends, with peers. So it's good to sort of to think a little bit more as a marathon runner maybe than as a sprinter sometimes, in order to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, we always want to be the best in everything. At least, you know, that's something I think I wanted. Maybe even I still want to be that. And I slowly try to understand that. I mean, I do not need to be the best in everything. I really enjoy playing the piano at home for myself. Yes. You know, no one listening, and this is totally fine. And you can enjoy, you know, doing everything. And also professionally, it's very difficult being always the best in everything. And I think the older one gets, the better one understands that this is really not necessary. Uh-huh. That's why I like this music part, arts and education, arts and culture, because I consider myself a team player, you know, and there everyone is sort of good in something, usually. And you just, you know, you're trying something out. And that's why I love that combination of music, arts and education, where you can really prepare a catalyst for, as I mentioned, children, young people and adults, to come together and create something new together. Yes. You know, that's something I really, really enjoy doing.
Yes, I think one thing I'm realizing more and more during even this series is that while speaking with individuals, with people about their stories, rarely, if at all, do they sort of operate on their own. So there's always this teamwork, this social dimension, even skills one needs to work at. And somehow even the period of the pandemic recently, if we maybe sort of can be brave enough and bold enough and consider it somewhat close, especially in this side of the world, it's sort of a reminder that working together and developing the skills to work together, even at an education level, even at a very young level, is key. It's not enough to go it alone, but sometimes you have to, but sometimes, or most of the time, you need to somehow reach out and branch out. Danny, we're close to the end of the first part of our conversation. So can you sort of take us through what in a way happened next in terms of your studies and combining your studies even with maybe what came a little later, which we'll talk about more in depth in the second part of the program.
So I started, as I mentioned, Constance, with communication design. I wanted to become a graphic designer or photographer or something. Mm-hmm. Then I did that internship in this concert hall where I learned, okay, I really enjoy working in this environment. And then I did another internship as I learned, okay, working is really important. And I went to Australia as I just wanted to go as far as possible. And in New Zealand, I didn't get an internship. So that's why I went to Australia and I worked at the Australian Theatre for Young People.
Okay.
Where I learned a lot. I think I'm the Danny I'm today, mainly due to that experience.
Why is that, Danny? What did you get from there, which you wouldn't have maybe from elsewhere?
I think it was good to go just really far away, you know, very far away from family and friends. It was difficult for my mom and my dad, of course, but I think I needed that for a specific time. And I just learned what I still use today, this no worries Australian approach. You know, we'll be fine. I mean, we had deadlines when I arrived. We had to prepare a premiere the same night, and nothing was prepared. If I may say so. And everyone was sort of relaxed. You know, we'll be fine. No worries. That's something I really enjoy thinking, even these days when everything's going crazy at the moment. You know, here at the Festspielhaus, because we have so many projects and fascinating new ideas. I just keep that idea, okay? No worries, we'll be fine. And 99% it will be fine. Because you are sort of relaxed, you know? I think that helps for every project manager or for every project that one does. So that phase was very, very important. And also learning, hey, I actually flew to Australia, did a job there, and I came back to Luxembourg, and, you know, it was fine. I mean, I did that.
And it worked out. How long had you spent in Australia, Danny?
Half a year.
So quite intense. So I imagine very, very intense, I guess.
It's very intense. It was maybe the minimum. I mean, you know, 2-3 months is fine as well. But I think half a year is nice to really, you know, get there and meet new people and, you know, really experience this vibe. And it doesn't need to be Australia. Of course, it can be just another city or country as well. But that was very, very important. And it also got me sort of, I think, the energy to do everything what I did after. So I finished my bachelor degree in communication design. I started my master's degree at the University of Luxembourg in learning and communication in multilingual and multicultural contexts. And that's where my interest in intercultural dialogue, intercultural communication and languages really developed. And from that on, I, to keep it rather short now, I did my PhD in educational sciences, and I worked for several other companies in between. And now today I am in Baden-Baden in Germany at this Festspielhaus Baden-Baden, which is the biggest opera house in Germany and one of the main venues in Europe, and which is very, very fascinating. And I'm sure we'll talk
Indeed. Danny, after that sort of panorama you gave us there, with already a few interesting comments and reflections on sort of how things interrelate, one to the other, and how it's really worth it. Sort of saying yes, going for experiences, even going sort of half a world away in order to sort of transplant oneself into different context, different working environment, different culture and mentality, and then going back sort of and applying what one's learned in one's, let's say, sort of backyard. I think very naturally we can catch our breath a little bit and listen now to some music after having talked about music, and from your end also very sort of personally and very passionately. Like other guests on this show, Min Campus Ali, who are here on Campus FM, where my guest today is Denny Wire. We chose two tracks. In fact, my guests chose two tracks. And maybe there's some particular reason for these choices. So, Danny, let's listen to the first one. But before that, could you just tell us a little bit what it is and why you've chosen it?
So I've bought one of my favorite songs from one of my favorite singers and piano players, from Jamie Cullum. And it's called All at Sea. It's just a wonderful song to sort of relax. And it's about taking yourself back, taking some time for your own, being alone, you know, enjoying being alone. And it's also about the sea. And I love, you know, the sea. I just love the nature. I love the combination of music and nature. So it sort of combines everything. Mm-hmm. It's just a wonderful, wonderful track from Jamie Cullum.
Very good. So let's listen to this.
No one can bother me, or guard my roots, if only for a day, just me and my thoughts, sailing far away. Like a warm drink, it seeps into my soul. Please just leave me right here on my own. Later on, you could spend some time with me if you want to. Oh, no one can bother me, I sleep by myself, I drink on my own, I don't speak to nobody, I gave away my phone. Like a warm drink, it seeps into my soul. Please just leave me right here on my own. Later on, you could spend some time with me if you want to. All at sea.
So that was the choice, the first choice by Denny Wire, my guest today on Main Campus Alihor, here on Campus FM. Danny, you were right, very sort of evocative of nature, and also one can imagine oneself, yeah, sort of being transported by this type of music into places and environment and contexts, which then recharge one, sort of. I kept thinking of what you told us in the first part of the show about moving half a world away, going back, changing perspective. Sometimes one needs that. And I guess even during the pandemic period, and maybe we'll refer to that a little bit later, even with the impact on opera houses like in Baden-Baden, but also elsewhere, especially in Europe, that recharging of batteries is a must. In fact, in the second part, Danny, we can sort of go a little bit deeper into how your studies, including the PhD related to education sciences, especially in this context on campus FM, is a subject which comes up across different programs as well, even colleagues of mine. And everyone has their own take, obviously. But sometimes there are these commonalities, these touch points, where it's not enough only to pursue maybe a particular academic line or a particular research project to the end in order to come up with whatever was planned at the beginning. But it's the impact, it's the direct involvement of different participants, stakeholders, call them what you will, that is really, really at the heart of it. And in this particular context where you operate, on the one hand, very practically, it's also your work, it's also what you do on a daily basis. But you also sort of step back, take the time, research, observe, analyze. What do you seem to be discovering more about this particular area? And what is the sector telling you at the moment in terms of your research and your studies?
So when I started my PhD, one of the most important, should I say, challenges for me was that I wanted it to be sort of a practical PhD. I'm missing the right vocabulary, but I wanted to really have a project, like a real, in my case, theater project that a school was elaborating. And I wanted to really do the research about that project and the wider field of education, yes, and arts and culture.
Yes.
At the beginning, I thought I want to analyze also the multilingualism within these wider European field of how important can arts and culture be for intercultural dialogue, for learning maybe different languages in rather a fun way. But it turned out, as in many other PhDs, I did something completely different. I mean, I still had that theater project, but sometimes if you're in the field, you of course discover that there is something much more relevant than what you actually thought of researching.
Yes.
At least in my qualitative research that I did. And I came at some point to the element of trust. And that is something that I put my focus on, and that I still really try to both practically and theoretically research even today in my work. And I guess it will be something that I will do for my entire life, because that topic, trust, interpersonal trust in particular, I combined it with a humanizing pedagogical approach from Paulo Freire. That is really relevant in my view, that if you are in a project such as a theater project or music education project, you first of all can give trust to these people to do something. They also learn to trust themselves, you know, that you have that self-confidence that may develop. And then you have that social, you know, trust. You can trust the entire group. And that is something extremely important, in my opinion, also in relation to intercultural communication, in relation to the European Union, you know. I think in trust there lies so many fascinating facts.
Yes. Dan, you mentioned the European Union, so even on a sort of larger inter-institutional level, trust sort of can make or break, the lack of it can break many, many relations. And there's always been examples of this, maybe more recently, even soft management of COVID-19-induced challenges, but also Brexit, also relations between countries like Poland or Hungary, and sort of the core, let's call it that for want of a better word, of the European Union, and maybe the older members. On the one hand, you are exploring that, but do you also explore sort of what happens when there is no trust, or when trust is lost? Because it's like one of those things which you explore a lot as well through your practice-based research and communication and the arts themselves as a means of forging relations and creating bonds. But when you've got communities, when you've got societies where that trust somehow has been broken, what have you observed in those contexts?
So I actually, during the PhD, I mainly focused on really gaining trust, getting trust? How can a teacher, for example, do that within a school environment? And I always mention that sentence, I'm not, you know, considering distrust or something like that, because that would open a huge new field. Yeah. But I'm trying to do that at the moment. But rather, you know, I don't know if we could consider it like research, but I'm sort of thinking about it in practical ways. Because at the moment, as head of participation, this entirely new department that was created here at the Festspielhaus, I consider it extremely important to sort of try to get trust and to trust these people that we are working with, and to consider them as, I always borrow that word from Wefta, knowers. So people are knowers. We not as adults should think that young people do not know how something works. Mm-hmm. And there I realized that already helps to sort of get trust. And if we do not do that, we have immediately this sort of, well, you know, lack of trust.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And like that's a, always like what, a gap you need to overcome then.
Well, yeah, it's, in many cases, you know, we as adults think we know stuff better than young people. Mm. Maybe, you know, maybe very often this might be the case, but in my professional environment, very often this is not really the case. I mean, there are some professional musicians, for example, but they can teach something to young people. But we should really consider in project these people as knowers. We should trust them. And if there is not this perspective of you are capable of doing something, there is immediately, in my opinion, in my experience, there is a little bit of a lack of trust in that relationship.
Mm. It's interesting because so if you build trust, at least even the way many times trust is presented and discussed and worked with, it's not some sort of gift which just descends upon you in an almost quasi-religious, spiritual way. But it is fundamental that somehow, again, going back to your experience in Australia, that one adopts an approach that is sort of open and relaxed, and allows even for situations where maybe the expected result is not exactly the same as what one hoped for, but somehow those differences, those gaps, those challenges which keep coming can be also used to increase trust and to try a bit more and to test oneself and one's colleagues as well a little bit. Does it work out that way?
Sure, trust comes with risk. I mean, you need to risk something. So it's interesting that you relate it to my personal attitude as well. I haven't thought about it that way, but maybe it's true. I have that life motto, life begins at the end of your comfort zone. That's something that led me to Australia, you know, because it came with a certain risk. It came with, okay, I have no idea what happens there. I do not know anybody, you know, do I cope with that stress level and everything? Yes. And it worked out. So sort of, I think I trusted myself in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back from Australia, back to Luxembourg, having learned that, okay, there were some people that trusted me, apparently, because they invited me from Luxembourg to Australia, not knowing me. You know, we had like a Zoom conference that we had like now. And it sort of worked out. That's something I want to just in my professional life. I mean, in my private life as well. But in my professional life, I want to give that away as well. And because I just experienced that it works out, and I work in an environment that is really like a team player social environment. I mean, I do not work alone in my office. Well, I do that during the project management phases. But even in research, I think it's always important to sort of at least think about the word trust and what it, you know, what it contains, because there are so many levels below that. Below word trust.
Yes, different levels as well that one can really open up. When we consider what you've said a little bit more, let's have our second musical break of the program today on Min Campus Elihor. on Campus FM, where my guest today is Danny Wire, talking to us from Baden-Baden in Germany, also with a strong link and connection to Luxembourg, where you grew up, and other places around the world and around Europe. And in fact, in the third and final part, we'll come back, sort of bring it home a little bit, also talking a bit about Luxembourg experiences, even connections, network partnerships, related to intercultural dialogue, audience participation, and that field of operations. But before we do that, let's go back to music, something which sort of runs through your life, and you also practice and participate in and communicate, as you're doing very well with us today. So, Danny, tell us a little bit, what did you go for as a second choice, and also a little bit whether there is any particular reason for that?
Yeah, sure, there is. So I chose, I brought to you the song Sailor from the Vision String Quartet. And the Vision String Quartet is a group of young people that we are at the moment working with here in Baden-Baden. So they are sort of elaborating a completely new project called Impulse, where we want to bring young people closer to classical music together with professional musicians, the Vision String Quartet. But they are sort of the young people, the students, they should develop this program by themselves and together with the professionals. So that's this idea behind participation, that we really want to get them involved. And the title of the song is called Sailor, as it sort of reminds me that one of my projects for next year, as I want to do it for 10 years now, is to get my sailing license. You know, I just love, as I mentioned for the first song with Jamie Cullum, nature and music and everything. And this song sort of combines
It's true. We're still sort of in the area of marine and maritime travel and experiences. And then I'll take the opportunity then to wish you all the best with the sailor license. That's another dimension you'll be opening up.
Life begins at the end of your comfort zone.
That's right. Even if it takes you sort of across seas. So let's listen. Let's listen to this. coming back slowly from this travel across seas, and I imagine our listeners as well today on in Campus Alihor, here on Campus FM, where they're listening to this interview with Denny Wire, have traveled mentally, imaginatively, and through sort of vicarious experiences, as happens during this series, but then maybe even taking it sort of back home to their realities and applying a little bit what they're listening to their everyday experiences. And Danny, as I said before the break, I'd like sort of to bring it home now with you as well, because there's one area which we talked a lot about, but there's much more to say, sort of the issue of audience participation / engagement / so many other words and definitions that sometimes can sound a little bit theoretical and rhetorical, but through your practice-based approach, and I'm quite sure that some of our listeners will really relate to that from the faculties of education and various other departments and institutes, where it's really, really important. You even mentioned Paulo Freire before, who is quite still a leading light in the work of many colleagues here on campus. So that's one. But in a way, I guess within the next 10 minutes or so, we'll also sort of edge towards future projects. You already sort of hinted at something like that before. But somehow I'd also like to bring into the conversation the intercultural dialogue perspective, because even based in Luxembourg, which is a small country, however centrally placed in Europe, very sort of outward looking. Earlier on in one of the earlier series, I had spoken to François Carbon, who we both know, who we've both worked with. I guess one of those people who gives trust to people and trusts young people, colleagues, sometimes even after knowing them for a little while. But so he's really good at sussing people out and engaging them in projects. And obviously with him, I had spoken about the Transatlantic Dialogue project, and we've also really got to know each other through that network. So I wonder whether if over the next 10 minutes or so, we could sort of look a little bit at a bit more in detail at the intercultural dialogue element within a project, within a network which is sort of international, global. However, to me, something that strikes me within that network and initiative, which is also making me very interested in what you're saying about your work within the field of music and education, is that somehow the big picture is connected to the very local, small, specific. So you have projects and initiatives where you're dealing with individuals, with children, with educators, on a very sort of local, community-based level. However, that somehow reaches out and has impact and ramifications on a much larger context. Does this make sense? Do you relate to this sort of local but also global perspective in the work you're doing? And maybe you could tell us a little bit more about even sort of how you see that happening in the projects you're involved in.
Sure, that's exactly how I feel it as well. So it started in Luxembourg, as you mentioned, small country, half a million inhabitants. Very normal that you live with people from all countries from around the globe, mm-hmm. that you speak different languages. And I think that, of course, has a huge impact. And then at the University of Luxembourg, you know, that's the same. Similar experience, as you mentioned, François Carbon, he is someone who gives trust, mm-hmm. and I think that's really something I learned from him as well. And he is one of my most important mentors, mm-hmm. in that way, that I really enjoyed working with. And at the moment, it's as you mentioned, you have to start somewhere with a group of people. You cannot, you know, do project with the entire Germany population, right. For example, with the German population. But whatever you do in this sphere, you know, may have an impact, a wider impact. And that's something that is both relevant for the theme of trust, but it's also relevant for the theme of education, for mm-hmm. the theme of music education. If we work, for example, with professional musicians that are member of an orchestra, I mean, an orchestra is like a society or a country or whatever, like a multicultural community, mm-hmm. because I mean, maybe there are 100 people coming from, I don't know, 50 countries or whatever.
Yes.
You know, this is so fascinating to work with orchestras, but also with you know, smaller communities.
Yes.
And I would agree with what you say. You have to start somewhere and hope that it has an impact on a wider community.
In fact, while you're talking, sort of the flip side of that came to mind, because when you sort of engage in such projects, the image of the orchestras being a society which is diverse, depending on where the people come from, so not only what they play and how they interpret their musical education, but literally even their personal lives, that come together. There are sort of a number of limitations that one starts facing, and one sort of maybe tempted even to overcome too quickly sometimes in order to bring people together. Again, you spoke a lot about trust earlier, and there are so many other elements in trying to build these relations, meaningful relations between different people within a community. That sort of those limitations start possibly showing, on the one hand, sort of in a negative way, that there are limits, there are sort of the picture ends sometimes, sort of that's the image coming to mind, at some point it's really hard to go beyond. But then on the other hand, that's sort of also a way, isn't it? It's showing you, it's pointing that maybe one can go round particular challenges or interpret them in other ways, or sort of to use a cliche, call a friend, literally sort of say, okay, I need to suss this out and check this out with others. So I guess my question is, how important actually is the fact that problems, challenges, limitations, difficulties, sometimes they can be financial, sometimes they can be organizational. How important have those been in a way opening up new ways of approaching these problems and challenges?
Well, at some point you learn that, you know, a challenge can be something good, a problem can be something can be just a wonderful learning experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in the case at the moment, where I really focus on participation, so even the department is called participation, mm-hmm. the work that we do, we use that word a lot, but we also have to think about what does it really mean. And of course, if we participate with other people, there will always be challenges, mm-hmm. Conflicts, problems. But at some point you just learn, and you give that learning to other people as well, that first of all, participation means that it is sort of like a democratic process. Participation means different people can come together and they are allowed to come together, be it a child or an adult. And participation also, of course, means collaboration and cooperation. And naturally, this brings discussions with it. But isn't that something that we should seek for? I mean,
yes.
That's what I mean with by being a team player, by opening up to that theme of participation. You, of course, are willing to get a risk as you're willing to get some trust. You know, we talked about that before. And by that, naturally, you will have some nice and some maybe not so nice discussions.
Yes,
but
yes.
It's always a wonderful learning experience, and you can learn from that and build up from that.
Yes, it really struck me when you said sort of it's not only sort of people getting involved in projects to participate, but it's even sort of the people maybe running a project or researching a project who have to participate with other people in developing and taking forward their aims and mission. We're down to the last couple of minutes, Danny, so I wonder whether we can sort of look a little bit ahead. Obviously, we don't have crystal balls and things are always up in the air and changing. But sort of in order to guide your next steps, I'm sure sort of you're sort of working on what you've described very well to us today. But there might be also other things coming up, maybe even following the particular challenges we've all gone through and still go through sometimes with the pandemic and with other issues, might be financial, administrative, even political sometimes. What's next in a way? What are those areas you see yourself moving into? Yourself and your working community and your research community.
As you mentioned, it's a very, very good and difficult question. I think that the themes of trust, communication, dialogue, participation, everything that we talked about will become maybe not more and more important, but more intense. If you look at the development of social media, or even what is now called Metaverse, what Facebook is renamed their company, is sort of trying to get people together. That's something I do with completely different means than what social media tries to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that it is important that we trust the process of participation, for example, and that we give that trust, like, honestly to other people, and that we do not do as if, you know, only because of marketing or you know, we think we want to do it. We think we need to sell some tickets. That's why here, for example, I think that many people talk about young people as the audience of tomorrow in the context of cultural education or in the context of concert halls. We say this is completely wrong. Like, hopefully in 5 or 10, well, hopefully tomorrow, but let's be realistic, in several years, no one will consider young people in the context of concert halls as the audience of tomorrow, but as the audience and artists of today. That's what I mean about honesty, that I just hope that there will be sort of a switch, that this trust just becomes real. And do you say in English, maybe consequently? I mean, that you really do it, like, 100%, and not only, okay, I do not want to go to take a risk, but you need to take a risk, and you will be, in my experience, it will be rewarded.
And I think this issue with communication, there's obviously so much more to say, but I think you've really chipped at quite a few interesting parts of the argument. Even us engaging in a sort of short interview like this, where on the one hand, so if you have the maybe glib, quick, marketable, packageable type of communication, as you said, maybe the end point is, after all, to sell tickets and have bums on seats, as they say. But behind that, and together with that, and together with all the experience that one is trying to gain, and then share with others in a particular team or audience group, then there's much more. And I think today you've opened up a little window, a bit further onto your research, what you're doing. Obviously, our listeners can sort of follow up also what you're up to online, together with institutions that you've mentioned during this program, because there's really so much going on, and so much more which will develop over the next years. So, Danny, thank you very much for taking the time to share these very sort of dynamic experiences with us, which I'm sure our listeners will keep sort of considering. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much again for you. And well, trust yourself as well.
Till soon then. Bye-bye. Nittama li dik l-intervista ma Danny Wire minn ġewwa Baden-Baden fuq l-esperjenzi tiegħu ħanajtek fil-mitel Ewropa tal-lum, u anki però esperjenzi oħra li ġabar f'postijiet oħra, speċjalment in-naħat tal-Awstralja ta' New Zealand. Nidoġbitkom ir-rabtiet li provajna nagħmlu bej aspetti differenti tas-soċjetà kreattiva u tas-soċjetà u l-komunità ta' kuljum li ngħixu fiha. Oġbitkom. U jekku minnu nistidinkom taċċedu għal programmi tagħna fuq is-sit tal-Campus FM, kif ukoll terġgħu issegwu minn Campus għal ieħor il-ġimgħa d-dieħla. Saħħit.